Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beacon Podcast.
It's time to wake up. You ready to do that one?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're back with the Beacon Podcast.
Thank you for downloading. Thank you for the support. We love it.
You got Matt and Nick coming at you live with special guest Vic Vega Jr.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Thanks for having me.
In the Stew Studio. Vic is a new friend of ours. He is an aspiring libertarian activist, fairly active in the party, and we met him, and he's a very interesting guy to talk to, and philosophically, most of the time just being by the nature of being a libertarian, you got some interesting things to say, but I think you guys will like his perspective on a lot of stuff. Vic, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. My first podcast, and want to just, you know, speak about my views and I guess my point of view about, you know, libertarianism and how it can really, you know, be a good change moving forward with all the let's say craziness going on right now. You know,
I thought he was here to talk about beard maintenance. It's perfect. Oh, beard. His beard.
Oh, I can do that too.
You got a perfect beard, man.
I try, bro.
Yeah.
Beard maintenance. What was that movie? Is like, have you seen A Thousand Ways to Die in the West? I think.
I've seen it.
It's a movie. Well, anyways, it's like set in this the old like the old Western type of movie. But there's a character in it that has like a mustache grooming shop. It's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
And he calls it the Mustachery. He's like a
the Mustachery.
Hey, those came back, I guess. It seems pretty popular now.
Like in the hipster kind of.
Oh wait, that was the spoof that was like recently, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who was the actors? Couple.
It was the guy that does all the stuff for Family Guy.
Oh, he's great.
Yes. What's his name?
I forgot his name.
I don't hear talking.
Seth MacFarlane.
I did see.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah, super funny.
Yeah, I just watched Ted 2. It's been on television lately.
Hilarious.
I literally cried. I can't tell you how many times from laughing so hard. Like some of their jokes.
Is that the one where he's like, we have to destroy your computer?
Yeah,
because it had all this jack-off material on it.
Black Cox, yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious. All right, so Vic, welcome to the studio. We're glad to have you here. So you are a big fan of libertarianism. What made you get into this? Why libertarianism?
You know, it's interesting. Just to tell you a little bit about my background. I was, you know, at 18 registered, you know, Democrat. I think 98 was what, Bill Clinton era, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in junior high, I played the saxophone. So, you know, me, young, impressionable kid, right, seeing Bill playing the saxophone on TV, I'm like, oh, that guy's cool.
He's got some chops.
Yeah, he's plays saxophone, too. So, you know, I just thought, hey, Democrats are, you know, doing a good thing. Well, the other thing, too, was I, you know, going in school, I fell in love with JFK. Mm-hmm. You know, I did
the movie or the president?
The president.
Cool.
I liked his philosophy, right?
For sure.
So that's when I was like, you know what? I think the Democrat is going to be for me, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, jazz and blowjobs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then fast forward, you know, up until 2008, I was more into entrepreneurism. You know, my dad is a lifelong entrepreneur. He's a small business owner, opened up his own business in 87.
Yep.
So I got to see firsthand what it is to be an entrepreneur, especially in the United States, right?
But more free market.
In the free market, yeah. You know, and family background about my dad is really, I'm a first generation citizen. You know, my grandmother, they all moved her seven children to, you know, the land of opportunity. And fast forward, my dad is really the only entrepreneur out of the seven brothers, started his own business because, you know, somebody told him, hey, you can't do it. You're not smart enough. And he basically said, all right, you know, watch me. You know, so that's when he came up to the AV. Yeah. So
and where from?
From Mexico.
Okay, from Mexico.
From the city of Guadalajara, which is, you know, main Mexico. So if you think about it, that's a big journey. And that's a big risk that my grandmother alone, you know, decided to take for her seven, you know, for her seven kids.
For sure. And that, and it was because of the hope of that kind of entrepreneurial climate.
It was really just the hope for a new life, you know, to say, hey, you know, I think my kids can make it. You know, I think I just want to give my kids a better opportunity, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And that was really it, is just, hey, I think, you know, I think my kids will do better in America.
Yeah.
You know? And to this day, gosh, for all, you know, all my uncles are, you know, they're all homeowners. They all have families. Yeah. A lot of my family members are, you know, I should say first generation citizens. They're going to college. They're getting degrees. They're getting scholarships. You know, they're living the American dream. As my uncles and my aunts are proud that, you know, our grandparents or their parents made that move or made that risk.
Mm-hmm. They're prospering.
You know. So that's really it. So a little bit that had to do about my political involvement, right? And then, learning about libertarianism, I was actually, like I told you, I used to go to seminars about, you know, business, marketing, because I was very gung-ho about entrepreneurism. I said, like, yeah, I can.
You saw it firsthand and you were ready to dive into this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I met one of my, I call him my liberty bros. His name is C. Michael Pickens. And he talked about Ron Paul, and I never heard of Ron Paul. I've only seen stickers about Ron Paul throughout the AV, you know, vote Ron Paul. Vote
you would
Ron
say
Paul.
This is around 2008-ish?
This is a 2007, 2008, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, who's Ron Paul? Who's Ron Paul? But I always see Ron Paul Revolution, Ron Paul Revolution, right?
Yeah.
And so I was at a seminar, and then he talked to me. We started talking about marketing, stuff like that. And then somehow we got into talking about politics. And he's like, hey, have you ever heard of Ron Paul? I'm like, you know, I was like, I've always heard the name. I see stickers. I see Revolution. But no, I don't know what he's about. So we started talking some more. And I was like, hey, that's really cool. It's like, I like that, you know, about, you know, individual responsibility, personal responsibility, right? Free market, you know, limited government, limited taxes, all these things. I was just like, man, I like that. You know, it's like, I like the ring to it, you know? So I started, you know, obviously Googling, YouTubing, and the message that Ron Paul was saying just resonated me. I was like, man, this makes so much sense.
Coming from that entrepreneurial desire, you found it that it was more favorable to that than the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, to be honest with you guys, man, you know, when we first went to Iraq war, you know, Iraq, the first one with the first Bush.
Yeah.
Right.
Desert Storm.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what? I actually cried because I was like, fuck, we're going to war.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Again.
Like, again. Well, you know, at that time, I didn't know we were always in a, you know,
constantly in conflict,
perpetual war, right? But I was like, that's, I was crying. Point. I was like, man, that sucks. Like, why do we have to go to war? Like, why do we have to send off our...
I'm not mad at those people.
Of course.
Why are we over there killing them?
And I would never question, you know, I'm never going to question a, you know, a veteran's, you know, call to serve his country, right? Because you think, hey, I'm going to go do the right thing.
That's a good way of putting
my
it.
My beef is with the legislators that think this is the only viable option.
And then, you know, maybe even lie to people to get them to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. To, you know, play into their heartstrings, right? To get them emotionally, you know, charged to go off and, you know, do the right thing. And
appeal to emotion.
And we especially have when the vice president's profiting off of this war.
For sure. One of our shows is actually on logical fallacies and how people can that there are arguments that people have and they're false arguments, and one of them is appeal to emotion. So if you can pull someone's heartstrings, mm-hmm. you can convince them of something just based off of that emotion alone.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious, like, as an entrepreneur, especially with, you know, your dad made it, and I know it probably wasn't easy, you know, for him.
Hell no.
The time you're talking about, at that same time, you're learning about Ron Paul, libertarianism, or the president's telling people, you didn't build that, or, you know, that candidate is telling, you know, you got to attack, you know, we need, you know, promoting socialism in effect. Like, how would your dad react to a president saying, you didn't build that, when he busted his ass and is now running a successful business and fed his family?
Well, you know, when I was working with my dad, I also asked him, because I also got to see firsthand, you know, where the regulation and all these, you know, fees and all this stuff to basically run your business came in, right?
Yeah.
I started to see the, you know, some stupid just fees all of a sudden start passing on to us, right?
The governmental fees.
Taxes.
Yeah. Basically
tariffs.
Just sexy ways of calling them different things.
And as a kid, you know, like how you said it was hard for him. Yeah, it was hard, man. You know, back in 87, you know, in the Yellow Valley, how many people drive BMWs, right? So he's a specialist. He only services one specific type of vehicle, right? And but I got to see firsthand, you know, also being called the spoiled brat and all this stuff because we traveled a lot. You know, we went to Baja California a lot. We went to Mexico. We, you know, we toured other states. We almost every month we at least went on one long weekend that my dad would take us to, right? That as a kid, I just thought, oh, this is just normal. But
vacation,
a lot of my cousins didn't have that because, you know, their fathers were tied into their business and all this other stuff, right? So as I got older, I was like, dang, my dad had the financial freedom to take us to these places, right? Yeah. And we loved it. And of course, we, you know, we took it for granted, right? So over time, that kind of just, once I started working inside my dad's business, I saw the stress level that my dad had to deal with, you know, paying taxes, you know, paying employment tax, income tax. And
would he discuss this stuff with you too? Like, man, I kind of wish the government would just get out of the way.
He wouldn't discuss it. He would just be pissed off. You know, it's like, he's like, dang it. You know, he's like, I gotta find a way to, you know, come up with all this money to pay for payroll. So he never really talked, but he always said, you know, my time was easier when, you know, when the Reagan era of, you know, so much less regulation.
Less regulation.
And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? Right. So that's when I was really, to see my dad get slowly, like, taken away his passion to, now I just got to survive. Like, I have to now, you know, serve my, you know, basically just in survival mode. And I've seen that where from him being happy, proud entrepreneur, just like, man, now I just need to survive.
It's the exact storyline in Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged, that's basically what they're talking about, that you have these industries and then they're just getting choked out and stifled by the state, the state's regulations. It's all about that. That's really interesting.
What's funny about that party, you know, the left party, is they'll sit there and thrash big business, but what's happening to, like, your dad, you know, in a socialist country, you're only making it to where the big businesses can thrive.
Correct.
And, and eat the, you know.
And especially if, I mean, we all know, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but we know that, I mean, the American economy runs on small businesses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as far as a small business, the last time I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a small business is still defined as somebody who generates 12.5 million or less.
Oh, really?
Which is still, I mean, you know, you can have 50, 100 employees and still be a small business.
Mm-hmm. Depends on what you generate.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So, so when my dad was, you know, trying to make decisions of whether he can hire, you know, a badass tech, right, but would have to pay up the yin-yang for, he's like, I can't justify, because on top of paying a you know, normal salary, now I have to pay taxes on top of that.
Right.
You know, and when his prices were
and now healthcare.
Exactly. And especially now when his, you know, his basically his prices for the consumer was based on a very fair, you know, where he knew he could bring in, you know, bring in customers because his prices were fair. His work was fair. He always told me, hey, do the right thing. Don't do the right thing. You know, there was customers when I was beginning to start learning a wrench that would come up to my dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Vic, how's it going? Here's my info. Here's my keys. Here's my credit card. Call me when I'm done. You know, and it's like, to me, how, you know, and you know, the bad rap that sometimes, you know, mechanics can get.
Right. Like the shady rep.
Exactly.
He was respected and
honest.
And he was respected by businessmen in our community, which was awesome to see.
That is the best quality that I've ever sought out in any kind of mechanic, you know, is their trustworthiness. That's why my family had the same one that we went to every time.
Yeah. And that goes a long way, because I know, like, I know when. And I've had to deal with people, or, you know, fixing other people's problems, right? Where that other person said, you know, they said something and didn't even do it. So it sucks because it hurts the next guy that is trying to do the right thing. Like my dad, who's a very honest person, will tell you if you need it, no, it can wait. Hey, we'll monitor it next time you come in. You know, most of the time it's, hey, you got
to
do it now. It's like, no.
Try to upsell.
He helps him save a little money.
Of course. And sometimes he would just do things no charge. Like, you know what? I appreciate your business more. Thank you.
Yeah. You know? And that's perfect. That's probably why he ended up doing so well. It's kind of sucks the people that end up having that shady kind of mindset to where they think that they can end up rich someday by shysting other people. And it seems like for the most part, I don't know what laws are at work, you know, but that the opposite is true, that the more you try to help, the better the karma or something comes around and actually helps you out a little bit.
The best type of business you get is word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's
right. If you're not
me as a marketer. Yeah. You know, right now, gosh, word of mouth is golden. I mean, that will never go away. I mean, you know, if you tell me, hey, I recommend this guy, of course I'm going to believe you.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to trust you. Hey, you're my buddy. You would not lie to me. You know?
Yeah.
So, no, I get that. So, so that's really how I scratched, you know, being politically involved is, you know, not only my life experience too, right, but also when I heard, you know, my friend Michael say, hey, you know, you should look into Ron Paul and, you know, liberty principles, and started looking into it. I was like, dude, I've been a libertarian my whole life.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
I think most people are. I just think that the media has portrayed libertarianism as, well, it portrays it to the Republicans as anarchy, drug usage, encouraging homosexuality. It advertises it to the liberals as, you know, wanting to cut the welfare state, not caring about people, thus not funding people.
Yeah.
And
not taking care of people. Or
it's absolutely those myths that are spewed out there in the mainstream media need to be dispelled. Yeah. And I think this episode, that's kind of going to be one of our goals. This episode, our goal is to go over the libertarian platform as dictated. Dictated is a horrible word. I chose the wrong word. As
illustrated.
Yeah.
By the information presented in front of us.
By the actual Libertarian Party. I believe it's LP.com. So that's what we're going off of on this.
LP.com or LP.org?
You know what?
It probably could be both. They're smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
But I've heard stories of Ron Paul when he was running, and they never bring it up on the media at all. But, you know, he was a doctor. He's physician.
Yeah.
And
he ran as a libertarian back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And in his practice, if people couldn't afford, he would help them out for free. Like,
that was his his business model. Yeah.
Well, look at Rand Paul. Rand Paul went on a missionary mission. I don't know if it's the right word, but he went over to Guatemala to go help when people get blind,
glaucoma or cataracts,
or he went to go do just, hey, free of charge.
Yeah.
Reason.tv or reason.com went over there to do this. And he said, he's like, I'm doing this voluntary, you know? Yeah. And there was a media pickup of, oh, you know, are you just doing this, you know, for political gain? He's like, I do this all the time. Like, I do this out of the kindness of my heart. These are people that are less fortunate, that don't have the means and access to get this type of treatment.
They just masturbate too much.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's what that's what I like about, you know, it's voluntary. You know, libertarian is about, you know, even Ron Paul talks about, you can have socialism by volunteerism, where you can all agree to, hey, we're going to do this for the good of our common, you know, goal, whatever your goal is, right? But to have government to try to, you know, force that, well, then it's government by force. It's, you know, I'm still, I don't know, you know, and we lost our way of an actual constitutional republic, you know, because like there's a lot of you can say that, you know, even democracy in itself is flawed, because you're basically saying, hey, 51% of the population said yes, so F you to the 49%.
So 51% rules the...
Correct, yeah. Correct. So then it's a matter of which idea seems to us as the most, you know... The
it's,
you know,
tyranny of the majority.
Good. Exactly.
Yeah. If you're in the majority, it's okay. And we've actually, we had a whole show about that four episodes ago. Now, the civil rights movement would have never been allowed to happen if we were a pure democracy, because white male were the majority voters. The difference there is that when you have a republic like we do, a constitutional republic with a Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. that respects the rights of the individual, it doesn't matter if you're in the minority. It doesn't matter if it's 99% and you're just 1%.
Your rights are your rights.
Your rights are protected, yep. No matter what, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. I find that the libertarian platform aligns very, very close with the Constitution. There are only a few differences. Only a few differences.
Yeah.
Free trade. Very few. So that's cool. That's cool, man. Well, you're in good company. And I haven't met a whole lot of libertarian douchebags, you know? Like, they all, to me, I mean, if they're into the philosophy of it, they're all really, at least the ones I've met, are very, they're my favorite people.
Me too.
Well, yeah. Like... We all met Victor.
How did we met, man. I mean, we met.
We were at the bar, just sitting there, you know. And I stopped at this brewery that I like to drink at on my day off. And Victor sits right next to me, and you know, I don't know why. You know, I just talk to people. You know, we just start shooting the breeze. First, we're talking about cars, Beamers and stuff, Beamers. And then all these other cars.
Beamers.
Yeah.
And my dad had a. My dad does the. 50-mile fun ride in Rosarito, Ensenada.
Yeah.
It's 50 miles. So he has a little cycling team called Vic's Beaners. Beaners.
Well, can you tell the people your the nickname you told us?
Liberty Beaner?
You're the Liberty Beaner.
You know what?
And that's referring to Liberty Man.
You know, it's a way to, again, you know, A, make fun of myself, and B, it's like I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Mexican-American, you know. PC, right? I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud to be a first generation American citizen. Yeah. You know, I just think all the bad stuff that's being spewed upon us is BS, because, you know, for the majority, all of us, we look to the United States as opportunity to basically make our own legacy, you know, stamp our name to do something, not only for us, but, you know, for our generation. So the Liberty Beaner is just to say, hey, I'm cool being, you know, I can call myself a beaner. My friends can call myself a beaner, because we have that relationship. Yeah. We have that understanding. So it's a way to kind of just poke fun at myself, but also the reason I said that is because a couple weeks ago I was at a super massive Latino business networking type of thing, and towards the end we were, you know, talking to different people, and we went into politics, because, you know, the whole Hillary and Bernie thing was really hot, especially going into California.
Yeah.
So it was a college professor, and we were talking, and then I said, hey, I'm a libertarian. And he was like, oh my gosh. He's like, how could you? You're Latino. You know, how could you be libertarian? And I'm like,
but they've been brainwashed to be Democrats, right?
I was like, wait a minute. How?
This is perfect. Expand on that.
Yeah. So we're talking. I was like, wait a minute. And so he came off from what I think was, you know, like a progressive, right? So we're talking about, you know, different stuff. And he's like, I forgot so much, because I was pretty liquored up at that point. Mm-hmm. I was keeping my cool, and, you know, his friends were right there, you know, throwing, you know, their own two cents too, right?
In agreement with him.
In agreement, of course, yeah. But I'm like, and so I basically told him, I was like, I get what your views are, but have we really had that right now? You know, it's like, can you not agree that this system is the culmination of where we're at now, right? Where you have, you know, the majority of the American population basically disliking the top two candidates. I mean, you know, the top two disliked candidates in history of the United States are on both sides of the wing, right? So you have the left wing and you get the right wing. But
you have a tyrant and a tyrant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just going back and forth. And so he's talking about, you know, of course, he tries to bring in, you know, anarchy and all that stuff. And I was like, dude, we're not an intervention and we're not aggression. And he talks about, oh, you know, you guys want, you know, unlimited regulation. I'm like, here's my view of libertarianism. Right. Let's just take oil. Right. Mm-hmm. And I told him. And I'm going to apply the non-aggression, you know, not hurting others philosophy into my legislation.
Maybe should we explain that before you get into the story?
Well,
because that is the crux of libertarianism, is the non-aggression principle is basically the fundamental rule. It'd be like the Bill of Rights of the libertarian philosophy. And that is this. Any aggression on the part of one party to another party is wrong. And you could say that another way. You could say you should be free as long as you don't hurt the person or property of another.
Yeah, your actions.
That is called the non-aggression principle, is that we are vying to not aggress upon others.
Correct.
Because I would imagine the libertarian movement would appeal more to Hispanics, especially like, you know, like your grandmother, she risked her life to bring, and her children's life, to have freedom, to come to America to be free, in a free country. And then to go be pandered to by a party that's similar to the government in Guadalajara, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You're right.
But because they're not, you know, the libertarian thing's a newer thing, they don't like to talk about it, they like to make fun of it. But they're... I guess it gets linked to the right wing a little too much, a little conservative a little bit too much.
Well, both sides link it to the other.
In fairness, I mean, if you think about it, there are very libertarian-leaning, you know, Republicans in the current party, right? You know, Justin Amash, I like his
views. Oh, he's great.
Thomas Massey, Mike Lee, I think he's more a little center-right than he is more libertarian, but...
Amash is on point.
Yeah, Amash is on point. Rand Paul, of course. So, of course, there's people in there willing, you know, fighting to restore what even the Republican Party was about, right? It's no longer, you know, Reagan's party. I mean, Mike Lee a couple years ago said, hey, for those who are, you know, spouting, you know, Reagan quotes, start acting like Reagan. You know what I mean? So the conversation was, you know, getting... So I just told him about, you know, non-intervention or non-aggression, right? And he kept on focusing about, you know, regulation. We're anti-regulation. I said, look, if I was a libertarian candidate or if I was a libertarian policymaker, and let's just take big oil, for example. I told him, of course, I'm going to want to embrace, you know, renewable energy, right? Because it makes sense. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to force that this has to be the way. But I told him, let's just take oil, for example. If you're an oil manufacturer and you're, you know, digging oil from the ground, okay, cool. Whatever, right? Because, hey, you're feeding a need.
Yep.
But if you are going to be polluting the water, polluting the airways, knowingly that you're not basically being responsible, you're just basically, you know, pillaging off the land and dirtying, I guess we should say, shitting on your backyard, right?
Sure.
Then you know what? I'm going to have a problem with that, because now you're hurting my constituents.
Yeah. And the libertarian, a libertarian government wouldn't put up with that. What would happen there?
I do not believe that at all.
Is because there's two different mechanisms of what's going on there. There's number one, it's hurting the person or property of another. Mm-hmm. If it actually pollutes things and you actually get damage. And the second one is your avenue of getting justice is through the court system, because they have actually damaged you. you have a case. And now there would be case, the case would be huge and it might involve millions of people, but that's, justice would work.
Absolutely.
In a libertarian society, you would have a very sophisticated court system because everything's based off contracts.
Correct.
Contract law and whether or not you're wronged.
Like, let's say, you know, you're a big oil. In a libertarian running government, I'm going to think that your money is no good here. I mean, you know, Dr. Ron Paul, they called him Dr. No. It's like all the lobbyists knew just passed by his door because, no, if any lobbyist came to his door, he's like, get out. I know what your intentions are. Get out.
Yeah.
So to think that, you know, let's say, you know, a big oil company was caught basically pillaging off that land and not giving back to its or, you know, leaving it clean, right? You're not gonna find libertarians who are gonna be like, hey, Mr. Oil, we have to defend you, so, you know, pay up, which we can make the argument it happens now, right? To say, hey, you are free to capitalize on that market, you're free to make revenue, you're free to, you know, give that back to the consumers all over the globe, right? But here's a little here's what we don't like. You're dirtying, you know, that town's waterways, you know, land, all whatever else they're doing. You can't do that, right? We gave you the right to, you know, dig
mine on your whatever, property
because, hey, this is good for the economy. Boom, 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 boom. But you cannot disrespect it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And
self-regulate yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sure. That's a major argument against libertarianism is they see the worst in people and they say, well, the world's going to get absolutely polluted and everybody's going to be doing drugs and it'll basically be a free-for-all.
I think it's going to drive, you know, not only just human ingenuity to like, to the best we've ever seen, because there's not going to be anybody holding you back, right? As an entrepreneur, as, you know, as a citizen, as, you know, whether you want to, hey, you want to work for a company that, you know, has a good plan to take care of you. Hey, what if we had less regulation where a company can, you know, compete for your loyalty, right?
For sure.
You know, back in Henry Ford, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, the unions brought on all this stuff, but there's also a lot of articles that's basically said, you know, Ford wanted to hire the best people, so he incentivized his compensation to basically flock all these great workers into the Ford Motor Company.
Exactly. And we've talked about that on this show, is that that's another argument against libertarianism, is they say, well, it's going to bring back slave labor wages, child labor, because
the
greedy corporations are just going to try to get away with whatever they can. And in a libertarian society, yeah, it would actually be flipped. The companies would be competing to pay people more.
Absolutely.
More desired workers, more. And also, for you guys...
I'm sorry, I just want to add, like, I'm hard to press that a libertarian in 2016 and moving forward would think that child labor is a good thing. You know, like, I'm not saying, hey, if we want to inspire, you know, young children to be entrepreneurs, great. But to go work at a factory, it's... The biggest thing about libertarianism is we listen to our constituents. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to be going, whether it's city or, you know, district or, you know, state, our constituents are going to have a voice. It's not mm-hmm. going to be who has the biggest money. We're not about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like who has the biggest influence, and let us tap to that and water down the message so we get it through.
Yeah.
It's not about that, because we, and by nature, are pretty principled. You know, there's a big little fiasco. There's kind of a little turmoil within the party right now, because of, you know, who we have as our vice president, or president and vice president.
Yeah,
you know,
nominees.
Which is kind of a little beef that I want to strike to the party, because I think they're missing the boat on our core, which is getting the message across, because there's a lot of infighting right now of, oh, they're not true libertarians.
I agree. That's another problem.
You're missing the boat. the fight for 15 right now, it's 15%. You know, we need to get 15% to be taken serious in 2020.
Can we explain, can you go into that and explain why? In polls, national polls, the Libertarian Party, which is the third biggest party, needs to get 15% to legally be recognized and allowed a platform on the national debate stage. When you see a debate, so the Libertarian Party has to get to 15%. What are they at around now? 11, 12?
Right now, they're about 11 to 12%.
Yeah.
Correct. Which, in, you know, the way media will, is like they want it to be at 50% even before the national debates, right? Right. So right now, it's kind of like, right now, it's like it's a lost cause. Right? Or these are some of the things. It's a lost cause. No, it's not, because we need to get 15%.
Right? This is another reason why you guys at home don't vote for the lesser of two evils. Vote for what you think is right.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I'm just going to say, even if you dislike, because there's a bunch of people in America that say they dislike, you know, Hillary and they dislike Trump, then you know what? Vote for the Libertarian Party. Are they going to win? No. But you gotta have to understand the long term play is in 2020. If we get 15% of the national vote in November, the federal government can no longer try to shut down the Libertarian Party as a serious candidate, because we have 15% of the vote.
Yeah. Force
so
a third party.
2020, we will be on Fox News. We will be on CNN.
They have to address
libertarian
it.
Bills. And the reason why they changed that 15% rule is dating back to Ross Perot.
Yeah,
when he was
very popular.
He was very popular.
Right? Well, hey, I got these maps here, man.
Yeah. So they changed the rules again. Yeah. Right. And
because he was so popular, they had to allow him a platform on the debate stage.
Correct.
Yeah. And now what, and course, he got shit from.
Yeah, the media attacked him and all that stuff. I mean, I didn't really research his views all that much, but I'm just speaking in terms of he was one of the biggest independents to really cause a ripple, right? Yeah. Where the two parties say, wait a minute, we can't have another ripple like that. Why, you know, Bernie, there's a lot of things that progressives and libertarians can agree on. Right. There's a lot of, you know, crony capitalism, you know, all these other things that we can agree on. The main difference is progressives want to see government intervention, whereas libertarians want to see a little bit more, you know, individual responsibility and just less government to do that stuff.
And for me, a bit more.
They're just hitting talking points, though. Like, if you're talking about crony capitalism, he's just using little catchphrases where, like, yeah, I don't like that. You know, voters would say, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
And not really look into,
correct,
you know, Bernie. Like, Bernie doesn't even talk about, like, Venezuela. You know, they're socialists and they collapse and, you know, but he will not talk about that at all.
He doesn't talk. He loves to bring up the Scandinavian states. He likes to bring up, you know, Denmark, I think especially. And Denmark is, they have, do you feel like paying 70-80% income tax to get all that stuff? I know the stuff that I actually that I use on a day-to-day basis, it's nothing that the state could offer me anyways. No. Really, like,
I barely use state services, to be honest with you, man.
Like, I use roads, and that can be done privately, you know.
Exactly. Ron Paul makes a case that it was done before 1913, when the whole Federal Reserve came about. So
for sure, what happens in completely private communities? They've got the best looking and maintained roads.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when you drive down the 5 when you leave LA and you hit Orange County. I mean, that's a good example of government doing it right, or doing something right, because I mean, you hit County Line and it's just shit and trash and weeds and potholes, and then you hit Orange County, everything's clean, smooth road.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe we should have our governments don't compete with each other. You know, it's like, I guess they could, in a sense they do, like, but it's how much money you have. Like, if you can afford to live in Orange County,
they have a richer clientele.
You would move to Orange County, but
clientele's a bad word, because you're not a voluntary client. You're forced to pay those taxes, you know, for those roads. Can we,
it's off of gas. Typically, it's roads are off of gas taxes.
Copy that.
But I was thinking about how funny it would be to see, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary with their graphs trying to emulate Ross Perot. Remember? Ross Perot always had his graphs and his little charts and stuff, which was nice. Like, I feel like he's really trying to teach you like what he's talking about. Like, visual aid is good.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's what I was going to say too, though. You get, though, Gary Johnson already is getting a lot of what Ross Perot got. And that's how dare you. What you're doing is ensuring the victory for the Democratic candidate. And that's exactly what Gary Johnson's getting right now.
So is Trump. I mean,
well, no, what they're saying is that Gary Johnson is taking votes away from Trump and guaranteeing Hillary Clinton the presidential.
It's interesting you say that, because there's actually a lot of people also saying the opposite is, but they're basically saying, like, you know, you're taking away from the independent, you're taking votes away from independents, you know, basically for Hillary. Right, it's like, what do you say about that? Well, it's like, and my only flaw against Gary Johnson is he's not polished enough to be, you know, a presidential speaker, if you will, or, you know, talks the talk. But it's like, gosh, neither is freaking Trump or Hillary at this point.
Right, like, these are going to be our representatives.
You know, which, we're not looking at substance anymore. We're looking at, you know, popularity. You know, what I like about what a Johnson and Weld, at least, that they were both two-term governors, two Republican governors, two-term in Democratic states. So what does that tell you, right? And they both admit to being fiscally conservative, socially accepting. Mm-hmm. But here you have, you know, two states where they're predominantly blue elect governors twice. So what does that tell you? That they have a message that resonates with the majority of those states.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why we should listen to them.
Let's get back to that. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come right back and we'll continue where we left off.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what use is freedom? Let's say we achieve freedom from the government. What use is that when other people around you attempt to enslave you, attempt to enslave your ideas? So this is it's a philosophy that has to pervade almost all aspects of life, because tyranny and control has pervaded thus far, and it has to end. I mean, you listening at home, if you really allow yourself to think about it, how much longer can this current system's insanity survive? Just play it out. It will not work. You gotta play it out. Anyways, so when we left off, we were talking about Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. These are the current nominees for the Libertarian Party. There's a lot of people that believe that these guys were elected, nominated to represent the Libertarian Party, not because of principle and not based off of libertarian principles, but more so based off of if they can win or how well they'll poll, maybe even to try to get to that 15% to where they can achieve a debate platform.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
You are correct. And right now, like we were just talking about earlier, there's a little current infighting, right? Because, you know, there are, let's just take, you know, the whole pro-life and pro-choice, right? There's really two sides of libertarianism, whether you are a pro-life or a pro-choice.
There we go.
Right?
Can we read that, actually? This is from the actual, from their website, actually. It's on the second to last page. I think that we should actually start integrating what they actually say. It's
1.5. Recognizing that 1.5. Abortion is a sensitive issue and that people can hold good faith views on all sides, we believe that government should be kept out of the matter, leaving the question to each person for their conscientious consideration.
That's the Libertarian Party's official stance, is that it should be left up to the individual to decide. That's one personally that I disagree with, but what were you going to say?
Well, no, I was just going to say how this whole split between not only that, but other issues, right? Of, because, you know, you have right now where, if you really think about it, now that we're in mainstream, we're kind of the party that is now in the adolescent stage, right?
Where, exactly.
You know, you have the two mommy and daddies looking at you like, you know, this is how you need to behave, right? This is how the party should behave,
right?
Right. Where you have,
but it's all about freedom,
exactly, which is crazy, right? But you have, you know, let's just take the pro-lifers and the pro-choicers. But there's this infighting right now, because on one side they wanted to see our young candidate Austin Peterson, who has done a great job, by the way, at least advancing the message of liberty, right? Yeah. And then you have Gary Johnson, who has kind of been by default the libertarian guy since 2008,
yeah,
right.
And so, those were the two top runners.
Correct.
A far third was the virus protection guy,
yeah,
right?
John McAfee.
McAfee. Yeah.
So at the convention, there's a big fiasco of, you know, do we want a true dyed-in-the-wool libertarian, or do we want, you know, people who have switched sides and say, you know what, this party is no longer for me, I resonate more with the Libertarian Party. And the people in the higher ups of the actual Libertarian Party said, I'm just this is my own opinion, saying, hey, we need to advance our message of liberty, right? We need to advance our message of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, everything that we used to stand for,
right?
You know, less government, more freedom. Where I'm thinking they probably said, look, we have in our lifetime right now the two most despised hated candidates, if not hated candidates.
And not only that, but I also want to add to some of the things, topics you're talking about, not just liberty, but your own personal responsibility. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's we're adults. That's we should be responsible to be good human beings to our community.
Yeah, it is a it's a polar magnet. Freedom comes with responsibility.
Absolutely, and that doesn't get talked about. And I think people are a little afraid of it. Like, we come up socialized through our public school system, most of us, right? And are a little afraid that of going out on our own, becoming an entrepreneur.
It's scary. You know? Yeah. But who said life was supposed to be easy? Or who said, you know, who said there is no risks?
But if you're Victor's dad and you come bust your ass, guess what? Success can happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
With only, you know, a Mexican high school education, which is pretty good, by the way, but to very little English, you know, pushing broom, you know, I mean, he started off as the shop janitor, you know, shop, whatever it is. And he asked those techs, I want to learn. I want to learn.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
And he did it and did it and did it until.
And it's those types of people that tend to do the best in a free market system
and become the best. Absolutely. Because they know every section of the business
and they constantly
but are younger people now learning. They you know they can't start from the beginning. They have this narcissistic disorder or something where it's just, well, I don't want to push the broom and clean the shop, I want to be the boss.
Right.
So you got to learn every aspect right. of the
but
job.
I watched all these TV shows that tell me that I need to be rich.
I got a trophy
for it
and my mommy said I'm great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad, he didn't take it easy on me either. You know, growing up, you know, going to school and you had those PTA days and I already had ideas of I was going to go skateboarding with the homies. Nope. So I dreaded PTA days because I knew I was going to go to the shop.
Shit.
You know, I was like, damn it, man. Like,
you're going to be put on blast.
With my friends, man. I want to be at the shop, you know, pushing a broom and cleaning. But at the same time, it's like, dude, I appreciate what my dad, what he did, because now I can work on my own car, right? For that reason, I buy only BMWs, not just because I want to be some idiot snob. It's like, dude, all of my cars are 10 years or older. It's because I know how to fix them. You know, it saves me money.
Sure.
You know, so my dad taught me a skill.
Yeah,
he taught
that's
me
cool.
the skill of a mechanic. He wanted me to, you know, take over the business, you know? And that's a longer story. That's why I didn't take that path. But, you know, I love what he was able to do, not only for himself, but for me. Yeah. You know, he taught me, you know, a trade that you just, it's being lost. It's just working with your hands, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding what it took to me not understanding pushing a broom. Why the fuck do I got to push a broom? I'm your son. Like, you know, and I had that own entitlement of, I'm your son. Why the fuck
that, dude?
You know, why can't you make me assistant manager right away?
Because I'm a good dad, and I understand. And I understand exactly. what it takes to raise you right.
I've always wanted to drive a Beamer. I heard they just haul ass too. Like,
they're fun.
I like
man.
The older, like straight body lines.
Yeah, I got to drive some pretty cool stuff, and I worked for other shops that were more specific towards racing. So yeah, I got to build some nice toys. Yeah,
and your dad was smart for going for the high end, but probably because he came to America and like, oh my god, that's like the opulence in those. This beautiful.
Why did he get into BMWs?
I'll tell you, he was in Guadalajara, Mexico, okay, back in the day, so I don't know, gosh, we're talking what, 50s, 60s, when they had road racing on the streets, right? He fell in love with the old school BMW 2002, okay? When he saw that BMW, and this, the BMW 2002 was made basically from the 60s to the 70s. The 2002 was kind of one of the cars to save BMW again. Mm-hmm. You know, from financial crisis.
Okay. And was that a design issue or a performance issue that they
fixed?
It was kind of just, for
BMW, it was a affordability issue.
Oh, okay.
Is this car is affordable to the mainstream.
Yeah.
So everybody could buy one. They just happened to be really good, you know, sports cars, right? It was very equivalent to the Datsun 510, you know, similar square.
I dig those.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Similar square body styles, right? So they look cool. My dad got to see them racing on the street.
Oh, yeah. You know? These are badass. I'm looking at an image. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're sweet. So,
ooh, a right-hand drive one, dude.
Yeah.
That's exactly the Datsun 510.
It's my between like a notchback Volkswagen, but modernized, and Datsun. Oh my gosh,
that's cool.
That thing's like, badass.
I had one too, and I love them.
Are those Euro rims on there? Like those are Enkies?
The BBSs.
Oh, those are that's beautiful.
So he saw that car racing. He's like, I love that car. He's like, I'm gonna grow up to work on those cars. Yeah. Now
they are beautiful.
How many, you know, people say when I grow up I want to be a mechanic, you know? But right. That was his dream. He saw the car, he loved the car, and said, this is what I want the rest of my life to be, is to be a technician, or, you know, a mechanic servicing those cars.
Right.
He never even had a drive to own his own business. The only reason, every time we're going to be going on our next year, 2017 is going to be my dad's 30th anniversary. Every time we have an anniversary.
30th anniversary of?
Of him owning his service center.
Cool.
Okay. Now, every 5 years, we have one, and his speech is always the same. He's like, I did it because they told me I couldn't.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's
you
bad.
Know? It's like that shop manager told him, you can't do it. He's like, you barely know any English. You don't have the education. You don't have what it takes to own your own business.
But I believe that I could.
30 years later, he's still owning his own business.
Yeah. Perfect.
They don't look that cool stock, but they're badass race out. What's with the exhaust like right down the center?
Right,
they
down go the center.
It goes down the Y's, and
which is crazy because all they do is put a big tube because the you know, the tire sits right at the bottom of the.
Is it a straight six?
No, it only came in a four. Yeah,
it's back then, four. Okay,
right there it was all the way down to a 1600, which was a 1.5. and 2002, which was eventually a 2.0.
Do they have like a high rev limit or?
At that time, it was pretty high for, I mean, 6500.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah. The way BMWs are, if you guys don't know, is, you know, three, the first number is always the model number, and the last two is the engine size. Oh, so cool. If it's a 325, it's a 3 series 2.5 liter engine.
So a 2002 is a 2 liter?
Yes.
Oh, and weird.
That's because before the 2002, it was also the 1600 or 1800, which was a 1.6 and a 1.8. Now, the cool thing about the 2002, that engine, right, the engine block, it's called an M10, mm-hmm. right? That block, okay, back in the 70s, they had the Formula One car. BMW had a Formula
that
One car.
That one's clean.
Yeah. That it was factory block in a Formula One race car. Okay, factory block that you can buy on that 2002. Okay, so it was a factory cast iron block. 1.5 liter turbocharged in that Formula One car, 2,000 horsepower. Okay?
Pitching.
And at that time, the Bosch dyno only had a 2,000 horsepower. I'm sorry, it's either, gosh, I can't even, is it 1,600 horsepower or 2,000? But they said, Paul Rocha, he was the BMW engineer at the time, or racing engineer, he said, we could only estimate, or we could only say this is how much horsepower it had, because that's how high the dynos were measured at that time. He's like, we think it could have been more.
Is that a new version? Like they're trying to bring it back?
They're trying to bring it back, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, that's how my dad fell in love with the brand. You know, right. That's how I fell in love with the brand, because when we used to live in Topanga before we moved out here, my dad had a 2002, and he would take me to work in it, and he'd be screeching up the tires, running through the canyons with it, and I fell in love. I was like, dude, BMWs are fucking badass.
Well, yeah, and it, you know, when he first seen them, they're probably straight pipe, lowered, you know, exactly. Suspension, raced out, and
yep.
Once you get that love for something, that passion,
that's what it is
all about. Passion. He had a passion for what he did, and then came here and he made it happen. The climate allowed him to do that.
Climate, you're right,
and it's changing to where it's getting tougher and tougher for him, and tougher for anybody really. Let me read this preamble, and then we can kind of talk about the different ideas that it sparks for us. So this is from the official Libertarian Party platform, and this is their preamble. As libertarians, we seek a world of liberty, a world in which all individuals are sovereign over their own lives and no one is forced to sacrifice his or her values for the benefit of others. We believe that respect for individual rights is the essential precondition for a free and prosperous world, that force and fraud must be banished from human relationships, and that only through freedom can peace and prosperity be realized. Consequently, we defend each person's right to engage in any activity that is peaceful and honest, and welcome the diversity that freedom brings. The world we seek is to build one where individuals are free to follow their own dreams in their own ways without interference from government or any authoritarian power. In the following pages, we have set forth our basic principles and enumerated various policy stands derived from those principles. These specific policies are not our goal, however. Our goal is nothing more or less than a world set free in our lifetime, and it is to this end that we take these stands. That's beautiful. That, if I could say, that's almost like the Beacon Podcast.
That's poetic.
Mantra, you know?
I almost said a libertier right now.
A libertier. And that kind of just goes without, I mean, that really should be on, like, obvious to most people.
And you know what? I'm willing to bet if you just show anybody this preamble without the, you know, the Libertarian Party at the top of it, everybody's like, oh, I love this. Who's this?
This is great.
Libertarian Party. Oh.
Oh, hippies. Or, yeah, whatever.
Oh, anarchists.
Oh. Anarchists.
All the crazy stuff we've been calling, I'm like...
Can I address the anarchy side of it?
Because I used to think anarchy was the way. I was like, eh.
Yeah. Which
it makes...
Philosophically, it is a utopian dream to have a society in which you do not need a government or a state. I will grant that. That is the ultimate goal, I believe, of human existence. But until then, we have things in this world called douchebags.
Exactly.
And it's our quest to end those.
That is one of our mottos here on the Beacon Podcast, is the quest to end douchebaggery. So, if we know that there are still douchebags in the world, then you need a government to protect the individual from douchebaggery, from those that would harm your person or property. So I don't know how far off in the future a anarchistic society would be, but that's where the libertarians, when they get into the philosophy, are talking about when they're talking about anarchy. They're not talking about people running on the street that have heroin needles sticking out of their arms, you know, that are kicking poodles and breaking glass.
Of course.
And, well, how'd you know what I did last weekend? What's that movie right now where they're on their third one? It's like Murder Night or something like that?
Oh, no, it's... The Purge or something like that.
The Purge.
Yeah, The Purge.
Wait, just a second? I don't even watch.
Oh, there's a new one.
Yeah, they're on their third one, I think. I've just seen a preview for another one.
But just the concept. That's the movie industry trying to scare the shit out of people that anarchy would, you know.
Yeah.
And they kind of promote guns. Like, you need to protect your ass. Because, like, the one I seen one episode, and it was this guy protecting his family, and how did he do it? And it wasn't like your liberal Hollywood media movie. It was, he had his guns and he fucking protected his family with it.
For sure.
Especially now with after that Miami thing, it's more fights on guns.
Well, that goes more into like the individual responsibility thing. Like,
yeah, be responsible with your guns.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, my gay friends are now a little bit more open to protecting themselves. I'm like, good, you should, you know, like, owning a gun is not scary. And then, you know, me.
And because they had swallowed probably the Democratic Party's tripe.
Well, when you said swallowed, I thought you were going to talk about something. So, wow, he's going
and,
there.
You know, and the big shocker is, you know, I don't even own a gun. You know, and it's like, to me, I don't know. It's like, I'm still 50-50 on it. And I'm not saying about, you know, regulation. What I'm saying is, right now, I'm not cool with owning a gun with all my girls at home, right? And right now we live in an apartment, so it's really hard for me to try to stow away my arms or whatever the case. But and no way saying I'm saying I am anti-gun. If anything, I was before until I realized all this other stuff. That's like, you know what? You can protect yourself. Mm-hmm. You should be able to educate yourself. I mean, it's our constitutional right to be able to, you know, bear arms, right? And this is where I like the Libertarian Party, is that they're willing to protect not only the Constitution, but also the Bill of Rights. And that's why I feel like, you know, maybe I'm not, you know, so pro-anarchy anymore as, you know, in high school when I was, you know, pro-punk rock and everything was anarchy, anarchy, right? It's like, I love that the Libertarian Party wants to say, no, 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 we want to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's where we are going to fight, you know, authoritarian forces, where when your constitutional rights and your Bill of Rights are being trampled upon.
Trampled on.
That's where, so as a party.
And you may need guns to defend that someday.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't embrace anarchy. We want to respect the rule of law. And that's something that Austin Peterson was very adamant about. He's like, no, we want to respect the rule of law, you know.
Yeah.
We want to legislate based off not only the Constitution, but the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And like, what more is there to argue? Like, it's okay to rethink, is my party really representing me? And you can make the case that they are no longer representing you.
Right.
Whether you're Democrat or whether you're Republican, where do you see them trying to fight for you?
Right.
You know,
that
hasn't happened in years.
Well, let me read what the actual the Libertarian Party put out in their principles. It's 1.9 on self-defense. The only legitimate use of force is in defense of individual rights, life, liberty, and justly acquired property against aggression. This right inheres in the individual who may agree to be aided by any other individual or group. We affirm the individual right recognized by the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms and oppose the prosecution of individuals for exercising their rights of self-defense. Private property owners should be free to establish their own conditions regarding the presence of personal defense weapons on their own property. We oppose all laws at any level of government restricting, registering, or monitoring the ownership, manufacture, or transfer of firearms or ammunition. That's the Libertarians Party stance, and that personally is completely in line with what I believe.
Sweet.
Completely. And I'll actually go a step further, and I actually think that that is the only reason why our government currently has not become more tyrannical than it already is. They're only going to get away with what they know they can get away with, and they know they can't get away with certain things because they know the population has the ability to check them, and that's
absolutely
that's. Because there are 100, 200 million Americans that are armed.
Yeah. And I'm just going to speak. my wife, she's currently a teacher, you know. So to think that if something were to happen locally and, you know, shit's going down, and all she has at her disposal is locking the door and praying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I have a problem with that. I believe, you know, as even there's something that could be done. Because I mean, you know, let's just talk about, you know, school shootings, for example, right? And a lot of the stuff that happens, the fact is, it happens on states that you are not allowed to, you know, carry.
Right.
Or even if you, the individual, is not allowed to carry, you know, people in those organizations are not allowed to carry.
It'll be on like a gun-restricted property.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's like if that stuff is going down, I would want my wife to not only protect herself but protect the children too.
Yeah.
Right? So education, you know, how learning just about basic firearm use, right? Learning how to protect yourself or have someone else in that particular school with the ability to, or, you know, not just one, but multiple people who
for
have,
sure,
that can carry arms to protect the school.
If we could do a little mental exercise.
That's just basic common sense. Like, you get, like, this whole, when, what's her name, one of our legislators said, you know, common nature is if you're being, you know, basically robbed at gunpoint or something's happening to you at gunpoint, and that criminal is going to have compassion and be like, oh, you're not armed? Oh, okay. I'm going to disarm myself. It's just, It's just right. idiot. Yeah. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. Well, like we said, there's douchebags in the world, and they're not going to honor your belief system or anything. They're either crazy and they want to kill, or they want your personal property, you know?
Correct. And as an opportunist, right? I mean, if I'm an opportunist and I see an opportunity, I'm going to take advantage of it, right? So, you know, you put that with your, hey, you're a twisted fuck and you want to go kill people.
Yeah.
You're going to do the math, though. You're going to calculate, hey, California, I got a real shot. Texas, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what the argument should be. It shouldn't be the guns. You know, they always demonize like an AR-15 or assault rifles, whatever. But these weapons don't just jump up and shoot themselves. You know, they need to talk about fundamentalist religions. Like, maybe we should reach out to these people or something. Like, hey, welcome to 2016. Girls are going to show their tits, they're going to read books, and they can have jobs without having acid thrown in their face, and dudes are going to fucking blow each other, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that's all aggression, throwing acid in someone's face or something.
Or it's schizophrenics or whatever. Like, what are we doing? Like, is there more schizophrenia, or, you know, these kids that shoot schools, whatever? Or the third thing is, are these faked shooting?
Exactly. Because that needs to be entertained by people.
Well, have you seen there's a video on this most recent shooting at the gay nightclub where there's a sky provoke, dude, it's absolutely response. it's to foment revolution, and we've done a show on that, like media deception. Mm-hmm. But there's a video and it shows like whatever store and then a Dunkin' Donuts and then an intersection and then the nightclub where the shooting happened. Well, in the video, it's like the cops are running with all these gay dudes in their arms that had been shot or whatever. And where are they running? Towards the nightclub. So they took a little media moment. Hey, let's get a shot and make it scary of like these poor guys that got shot and with their little short shorts on and bailing out. But
yeah,
yeah,
it shows them going right by the Dunkin' Donuts, heading south towards the gay bar.
Yeah.
So they took a little media moment to take a shot. And it's absolutely fake. So our media is absolutely faking it to push this agenda against guns.
Well, yeah, and you know, and my big beef too is, you know, corporate media or big media, right? Is, I mean, gosh, man, you ask any younger generation who doesn't get their information, their source of news for the mainstream, they know it's pushing a narrative. Whether you listen to CNN or MSNBC or even Fox News, it's a preservation of the party. You know, they have, you know, if you think about it,
maintenance of power,
it, you know, yeah, the media corporate have an interest to be with the government and not talk about the government. Right. Because, you know, when they set up their own, you know, media monopolies, the only people that can go against them is the government. Right. So why would in our current state of affairs, why would our government go after them? Because it's like, wait a minute, these are the people that are going to help us push things through.
Yes.
Well, that's why we do this show.
Absolutely.
We do like we are fans of like Ron Paul and the message, you know, that they have, because it's way better than the other messages.
Yeah.
But we're not a hardcore libertarian show. Like, if there's a truth to be told about anything, that's what we're trying to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. The truth is the goal on this show. And we've just found that the Libertarian Party is politically the closest in line with truth.
And the closest in line with defending the Constitution and just freedom.
And that's the most important.
That's all we care about.
That's why I believe I bought in as you know what? Boom, I'm going to go online, register as a libertarian because, you know, this is me. Is because A, the Constitution, and B, the Bill of Rights is. And the fact that they're willing to say, you know, when they look at the preamble and look at the, you know, look at the outline, is like, yes, this is me. I will preserve as a candidate of the Libertarian Party, whether it's, you know, local, state, or federal, to preserve that, right? Is to preserve your individual freedoms. You know, you can do whatever you want to do with your life as long as you are not hurting other people, that is why I will fight for you.
For sure. Right?
If you're, you know, if you're gay and, you know, that fundamentalist Christian is unhappy because, you know, you and your partner are, you know, kissing each other on your backyard and your kid sees it, yo, well, then fuck you, because
what's your kid looking into somebody else's backyard
exactly,
for?
It's like, you know, and
get a hold of your kid.
Exactly. It's like, dude, Ray, why are you so worried about that? Your kid is going, is your kid just going to fantasize and beat off? It's like, oh my gosh, two men make it.
Yeah.
No.
Or maybe the kid's just going to become a psycho killer is what the parent thinks, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So
it is like,
his thinking gets
so
all reversed.
Stupid. It's like, but when I tell them, how's that affecting your personal life? Oh, well, you know, in the Bible, it's like, well, wait a minute.
Copy that. You're allowed to have your belief.
You're allowed to have your beliefs, but how?
But your freedom ends when you impose yourself on somebody else's freedoms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is me as a growing up Catholic person, okay? You know, who was, you know, basically forced to be inside the faith, you know, altar boy and all that stuff. And to me,
but wasn't it Jesus that said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged"?
Man, I can't tell you how many times I use that phrase, and people just look at me like, "Oh, stop being a jerk."
I'm yeah, yeah. And it's like, wait, no, this is the guy that you say
it says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." I mean,
you're eating his body and drinking his blood, bro.
What do? We
you can't take certain stuff. Things he said. And not other things, like what, you get to pick and choose and now and then impose your personal now belief system
and that just
on other people?
Because it's like, you know, I love to read, and a lot of times I have to like urge myself to read the Bible just so I can, because a lot of times I get into these little beefs, you know, with all different types of people. So it's like, you know what, I know what it is to be uneducated about certain stuff and then just spewing, you know, rhetoric. It's like, oh, dude, you're an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I started to educate myself, started reading more on the Constitution, Bible.
Good for you, man.
You know, all these other things. Really,
I hope this is like a growing thing. I hope other people are doing that.
You know, I hope so too, man. God, the Constitution is, to me, it's the best living document there is.
Penned by man.
By man, you know, who understood, you know, there's like Jefferson. Jefferson, if you research Jefferson, he has his own, you know, Jefferson Bible, right?
Where he ripped up the traditional Bible, yeah.
Where, and then you also had, you know, you basically had, you know, religious fanatics, you know, conservatives, I guess, and liberals as our framers, who understood, you know what, yes, this the United States should be secular. There should not be a religious ideology ruling, because then again you're just going back to a big government ruling what they perceive as what the ideology should be.
Look at what happened to Europe when the Catholic Church owned Europe. It was horrible. If you believed anything different from what the Catholic Church said, you were deemed a heretic and you were hung or burnt or tortured. That was the Spanish Inquisition.
You know, have you guys ever seen what's his name? What's the black scientist?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. Have you guys seen his show or the new revision?
Yeah, of Carl Sagan's old deal. Yeah.
You know, which makes sense. It's like, back in the day, if you were just to say, gosh, who said the earth was round? Galileo, right?
I believe.
And, oh my
gosh. Or was it him or Copernicus, one of them?
Not sure, but, you know, someone said, oh my, you know what? The earth is not flat. The earth is round. Oh, how dare you? you demon, you devil. And
he's a weirdo.
How dare you? Yeah.
You know,
and have you seen the theories now that are saying back to saying it's flat?
I mean, let's just take a look at the show, you know, Game of Thrones. It's like, and they're talking about all these different kings, right? The gods of the seven and the god of light and all that is all those, you know, all the wars is going based on what?
I never watched that show, but people tell me about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show. It's cool because it really puts in introspective the politics.
Yeah, you know? Interesting.
Because Game of Thrones,
my wife wants to get into awesome, that. Man. Maybe we'll. Maybe we'll do it.
Maybe
we'll take the lead.
There's probably going to be a couple binge days of eight to 12 hour binges just really? To catch up.
Now, from what I understand, there's some history to it. It's about the conflict of the. Was it Lancaster? The Battle of Lancaster and the war between the War of the Roses, between the white and the red roses.
What? I'm not too sure, man.
I think it's based off of a British history.
I forget. It was based off a series of books that they made into a show. So I'm not too knowledgeable on the whole.
That whole historically, that thing was just a bunch of infighting in this royal family. Is that kind of what a lot of the show is?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's one family out to get the other and, building allegiances with other families and trying to screw you over.
What's crazy is that actually does apply. It applies today. It's where we're going to go on the show later, but it's going to require a little bit more research. But those same battles are actually happening today. If you
absolutely
trace back the power structure that is in power now, you can definitely trace it back to some of these battles. So I think it's interesting that. That is a popular show and has everything to do with what's going on. The media is a very interesting thing. The stuff that gets fed to the public and the stuff that is in the background that gets fed. We did a whole show on like subliminals and that neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
And a lot of what happens in the media, a lot of the techniques that they use, it will, number one, subliminally cause people to act in a certain way, and number two, make fun of the ignorance of the masses at the same time,
And yet, they are the ones that are creating that ignorance.
Sure.
Now
that with the internet, there's no excuse.
You're right, and this is kind of like me kind of defending, the Bernie supporters. Is when I went to, locally we had Bernie Sanders up here, right? And I went in support for my friend who got to speak to basically headline, Bernie Sanders. And me and her have had many discussions, and we think the same, her views, when she would say, hey, I like your views. If I absolutely lose faith within my party, boom, I'm going to give you a call because I'm going to jump to that train, right? So I went over there just to see for myself, are these kids really, embracing socialism? Are they, saying socialism hurrah? And they're not,
really
talking about issues that we can all agree on, right? Is the big money in politics. The only thing I really had to disagree with them was, free
free
public college, right? Okay. That was my only
free stuff.
Oh, free stuff, right?
Yeah.
That was their only conversation where they would mention, free. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was getting big money out of politics, having, representatives actually represent us,
right?
Of course, then the whole, corny capitalism thing. But the majority of them never and said, I want free stuff. It's like, no, I just want to be able to go to college and not be burdened by all this debt. Right.
Right.
I want to be to get paid a good paying job. And well, how do you do that? Well, let's
focus on our current system. You have to have a degree.
Correct.
Right.
You don't have to. I mean, his dad's
kids. They
no, you're right. Yeah. But I mean, in the current regular setup, rat race.
And so these kids were, but they took to online to educate themselves. They didn't, they weren't waiting to 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock to hear what CNN or Fox News had to say, So it's like, it's not like these kids are not openly embracing socialism. They're openly embracing the person who says this is the problem that, 4 years ago, Ron Paul was saying virtually the exact same thing. Yeah. His only differentiation was more liberty, less government.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where Bernie Sanders was
more government.
Flip-flop.
Yeah.
So I told these kids, once Bernie gets basically screwed over, do not lose that fire. You need
when
to
you say screwed over, you believe that Hillary stole that nomination.
Man, there's so many.
I've read a lot to that.
So
and
many
it's pretty
stuff that,
interesting.
A, you can. I mean,
like California, like he had California.
Oh, dude, he won California.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, he won many other states. But again, it's you know, you're fighting the uphill battle, right? But you know, I mean, he got Ron Paul, right? Like there was a lot of stuff. Is that he got Ron Paul? You know, Bernie got Ron Paul like he did in 2008, 2012.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole speech of you know, vote A or nay with you know what's his name, Boehner or Boehner. Same thing that happened in Nevada with Bernie Sanders, right?
Right.
But I told these kids, do not lose that fire. Once Bernie dies down, which is a real possibility, you guys cannot let up. Because I told them, you know, when it comes to poll numbers and data,
good for you, man. You're out there doing it.
Data, you know, and I told them, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I can disagree with Bernie's stuff, but they had a fire in them.
Yeah, we did a show about Bernie Sanders.
And just like I told the one of my friends in the Libertarian Party, is like, how are you going to capture these people? These kids are still going to be emotionally, you know, charged to support someone. This is your opportunity to say, hey.
Well, idealistically, the libertarian platform lends itself to the good-hearted nature in those people that want to help. Their good-hearted nature has been hijacked by somebody that convinced them that that could be done through governmental force.
Yes.
Which by nature, I mean, if you just think about it, it's false. Right on its face, it's false.
Yeah, because where does it end? You know, if you have, say, hey, government, help me with this. Okay, we helped you with that. Oh, but now I have this problem. Can you help me with this? Okay,
it's like we'll they have to see a couple steps ahead.
It's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. This has been absolutely awesome. Can't wait to get back into it. But nature calls. And I got to take a piss.
To be honest, yeah.
Let's play a song that has to do with what we're talking about.
Taking a piss.
Oh,
we don't believe what's on TV because that's what they want us to see. And if you're listening to the Beacon Podcast, I guarantee you probably believe something similar, nor would you have lasted this long listening to an episode, or else you're just a very curious person, which we congratulate
but
you.
But we love you. Hey, I don't think I ever told a story on the show. I was watching the news, local news, because I always watch the weather and this and that, and, you know. And I absolutely caught a Ron Burgundy moment live, and I wish I would have recorded it real quick and got it on, you know, and recorded it, you know.
Okay.
Like, they're talking about some dumb story. Hey, they found a bear in Glendale, and it's out in the, you know, tree, and don't worry, blah, blah. It was some local whatever. And then they're switching to, because, you know, they have to do happy, funny, like, cute, and then dark and ominous or whatever, right?
Right, yeah.
And
be afraid.
Yeah, and then so they're reading the story, they're reading across, and they're about to go to commercial, but then they go, what was the thing he said? He goes, sad, ominous voice. And he reads
it,
but it's telling him in the script, like, get start getting sad. But it probably wasn't in a parenthesis or whatever. So it reminded me of Ron Burgundy.
Like, had to record that.
I wish I would have. But and then he goes, sad, ominous tones. Oh,
no.
We'll be back with the news later on. It was Channel 7. And I'm going, you fuckers, man. Yep. I caught you. But I'm surprised.
They're using psychological principles on you, people. But. Yeah.
But he read the script to, you know, I got to talk sad now and break it down and
sad, ominous,
tell you why you shouldn't own weapons or whatever the fucking agenda is. You know?
For sure. Well, there's two. There's in that NLP
show. And
there
is good media there. Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is there's good online media outlets or online journalists that at least give you the truth.
For sure.
You know, like I tell... I don't know if you guys heard about, you know, the Young Turks. You know, the Young Turks is an online radio show.
Yeah. They started off like we're starting.
Exactly.
Off. Yeah.
You know, they're progressives. They don't shy away.
Yeah, they're very socialist in their.
But they're very. But at least nature. what I respect about them is they give you the facts. They give you the truth. They're always going to tell you know, their own opinions of, you know, progressive ideals and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But they're going to give you the truth.
Well, they do similar to RT.
Which I respect.
What I think similar to RT. This is why I watch. This is why I'll look at what they have to say. I'll look at what RT has to say. Is because they're attacking capitalism. So they're attacking the capitalist side of things. So you'll always see them attacking the big businesses to make capitalism look bad. Mm-hmm. For me, it's great because they do a great job doing that. And so some of the scandals that are out there, you get to learn about, and it's brutal, some of the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't take every single thing because I don't believe in socialism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for me, it's a useful tool because they're attacking the corrupt side of our society. I dig it for that.
Yeah. And you see, that's kind of why, that's really why I like TYT is, you know, they just present you with facts. They tell you what the real situation was, right?
Yeah.
And they basically just shed to light of how both parties are working together to screw you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hegelian dialectic.
And they even said like, look, we are with Bernie because what his message is, right, is because we do know that, you know, crony capitalism is a thing.
Yeah,
we
do know that both
parties are working
to help the country.
Yeah. So our only discrepancy between is like we want more liberty is you guys want more government. But, you know, RT, you know, TYT, you know, raw story. Reason.com. There's a lot of great online news outlets that you can get the real story.
Yeah.
Right. Where they don't push their narrative upon you or a trickle down version or a sugar coated version of what's really going on.
What about Vice? Do you like Vice?
I do like Vice.
Yeah.
I actually like Vice on their documentaries.
Vice has some awesome info. Same thing though, with Reason, Vice, TYT.
awesome info. They get to the heart of issues. They give you truth for what they're talking about. They have a socialist slant.
Correct.
And so there's big money in that socialist slant. So, but this is what at the Beacon Podcast, what we advise everybody is read it all. Listen to it all. Absolutely. Research it all.
Absolutely.
But only allow into your brain's belief system what you can prove.
And you know what? Take the time to, like, let's say you really want to educate yourself on an article, right? Or on a specific topic. Like, let's just take, you know, gun rights or, you know, gun regulation, whatever. Let's just talk about guns right now. Take the time to, gosh, invest an hour out of your day and read different forms, right?
It's an hour. Shut off, you know, the TV for a second.
Exactly. You're going to see commonalities of whether you agree or disagree. But take the time to really dig for that data so you can make your own, so you can come to your own conclusion.
Yeah.
Then and you'll be much more respected for that.
Because
you're going to be pointing out your own personal views.
Yeah. And right? Be honest with yourself about it too. Why do I believe this? You know, I had to attack views within myself on a lot of things.
Me too.
In this process. This process of learning is uncomfortable and you've got to attack a lot of your own beliefs.
Like, should you grow your hair out to look like Lance Bass?
Or? Exactly. Yeah. How dare you, Lance?
He used to look like Eminem. Now
you know, sometimes you just can't.
He always had a shave. Most of the time I've known him, he had a shave.
Or embrace your,
sometimes
of growing hair like me, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I read an article that actually bald men are
sexier. It's a tough decision.
Yeah, more confident, so I'm like, all right.
My wife actually I used to have a shaved head like that, and my wife, she prefers that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you're denying her basic right of loving you then.
She likes this, though. Actually, yeah. When I say I'm going to go in for a haircut and get it trimmed, she goes, no, I'll keep it bushy. She calls it bushy. You call it Lance Bass.
LB.
How dare you?
It's getting there.
Good, man. Lance Bass is a great guy. I don't know. I know he was a Backstreet Boy. That's about it. How dare you? Anyways.
I got to give you shit on every show at once. At least
for
once.
For sure. Yeah. You want to read these?
We have the statement of principles of, according to the Libertarian Party platform.
This is the statement of principles.
All right. Now, I don't know what I did with it, but where is my statement of principles?
Shoot, first page.
No, I'm
looking. Halfway
it's
down.
Okay. You'll hear.
Halfway down your first page. No.
All right, I'll just listen.
You're cool, man.
I think I see it. I actually think I could see the first page halfway down.
No.
No, I don't know what
I'll read it.
Or just to read it.
We, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state and defend the rights of the individual. We hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives and have the right to live in whatever manner they choose, so long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal right of others to live in whatever manner they choose. Governments throughout history have regularly operated on the opposite principle, that the state has the right to dispose of the lives of individuals and the fruits of their labor. Even within the United States, all political parties other than our own grant to government the right to regulate the lives of individuals and seize the fruits of their labor without their consent. That's taxation is theft.
Hashtag yep. Taxation is theft.
Hashtag.
We, on the contrary, deny the right of any government to do these things and hold that where governments exist, they must not violate the rights of any individual, namely, one, the right to life. Accordingly, we support the prohibition of the initiation of physical force against others. Two, the right to liberty of speech and action. Accordingly, we oppose all attempts by government to abridge the freedom of speech and press, as well as government censorship in any form. And three, the right to property. Accordingly, we oppose all government interference with private property, such as confiscation, nationalization, and eminent domain, and support the prohibition of robbery, trespass, fraud, and misrepresentation. Since governments when instituted, must not violate individual rights. We oppose all interference by government in the areas of voluntary and contractual relations among individuals. People should not be forced to sacrifice their lives and property for the benefit of others. They should be left free by government to deal with one another as free traders. And the result economic system, the only compatible... that was weird. And the resultant economic system, the only one compatible with the protection of individual rights, is the free market.
Beautiful.
Amen.
That's beautiful. We should not... So we can see how the draft would work in a libertarian party. There would be none, right? You wouldn't hire a
which
huge military
pissed off here.
What's that?
I said, which got me pretty pissed off when they included
women,
which basically went up on Facebook and presented my... I was basically pissed off. It's like, you know what? Because I have three daughters. I have one boy and three daughters, and for them, it's... If they want to get up and volunteer, that's one thing. But to say, you know, women are now included in that draft.
Yep.
And I'm sorry. And like I told you guys, you know where I stand with war. I got really pissed off.
There should be no draft.
Exactly.
Much less forcing women to become
fighters.
Yeah, you're basically
forcing one of my daughters.
If they get run for president, they can fucking pull a trigger, bro.
Now, what they're doing is they're officializing feminism. What they're doing is they're taking the feminist movement and they are making it absolutely official. You're right. Officially, a woman can do everything a man can do just as well. And now it's policy and they're included in the draft. And I bet a lot of the feminists, when they were arguing feminism, did not expect...
Whoa. We don't want that.
Holy shit, I don't like that. But if you research the feminist movement, we're going to do a show about it. If you really research it, it goes back to the Frankfurt School, the Marxist schools, socialist schools. And the whole reason there is what they're trying to do is they're trying to create wars between everybody. You create wars between men and women. You create wars between the races. You create wars between the economics, religions. You create wars everywhere, and then a society can be divided and conquered. Yeah. That's really what feminism is. And if you think about it, women... I personally think they're the saviors of this world.
And see, like, if you just take out, my opinion is, if you just take out religious ideology, you can have feminism, right? Because there's things in, you know, like, and I always, you know, I poke fun at my wife on this because, you know, sometimes I'll kind of tell her, well, you know, hey, as you know, as a biblical, biblical marriage, I own you. You know, you are, and to kind of just piss her off.
Is she religious?
No, she's not.
Okay.
Her family's not.
Okay.
One of her brothers is, which is crazy because we basically talk shit about him all the time. And then you have the other brother who is more agnostic. And the family's more agnostic.
And by agnostic, that would basically mean has no opinion here or there.
It's basically on the fence. Atheism is agnostic. It's you don't believe in a organized religion or
the need
God,
to settle on a decision on.
Yeah. It's like, it's just being unsure, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I take about agnostic is,
well, if you break down the word,
yeah, you believe in a creator, you just don't believe in an ideology, or you know, that a creator was, you know, Jesus Christ or who else is out there?
Allah is a competitor.
Well,
creator.
Allah is more, you know, the God, right? But let's just take Muhammad. Muhammad was the messenger. You know, Jesus was the messenger, right?
Right.
So agnostics, but from what I've read about, or even my own friends, is because, you know, I have friends who are, you know, devout Christians, who are great Christians, right? I have a lot of good friends who who are real, who I see as real Christians, right? Who are just open and loving no matter what.
I'd fall under that camp.
And that's cool. That's cool. And I love that because I have other friends who really believe that, you know, they don't judge, right? They go to church on Sunday and they follow everything.
I don't go to church on Sunday. I think Jesus taught against that, but.
But see, they are loving and they're open and they open the doors to other people. It's like, dude, you're a damn good Christian, you know. And then I have a lot of other people like, as soon as you know church ends, blah 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 blah. Did you see that person wearing that shirt? Blah, 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 blah. It's like,
did you believe that?
You're going Saturday night partying, you know, doing.
They get like demonic if there is such a thing, right? Can you believe that? They're feeding their face with fucking pizza, like it's a fucking competition,
you know. So it's again going to the fundamentalist, right? It's I have a beef with fundamentalism, you know, because I witnessed it growing up, you know, and
for sure
I was kind of like the black sheep, you know. Gosh, I was punk rock, you know. I was the only one, you know, wearing Chucks, Vans, ripped up shirt and t-shirt and, you know, listening to punk rock.
Yeah, but if you can't fundamentally believe in your religion, then why do you believe in your religion?
Well,
if you don't believe in your religion's fundamentalists, maybe there's something wrong with your religion. That's not my quote, but it remains true. Like,
well, you know who says that also, though? The Wahhabis. The Wahhabis are the Muslim sect that becomes terrorists. It's that fundamentalist Islam sect.
I'm an atheist and I don't believe in religion, so it's.
I get it, but that's what I would say is the problem with fundamentalism. Is I believe a lot of these texts are written dualistically
and misread.
Well, they're written with an exoteric interpretation and they're written with an esoteric interpretation, mm-hmm. and you can interpret them a few different ways. You can either take the Garden of Eden as being a literal exoteric story.
Talking snake.
That is like, there was actually a snake in a tree that told Eve, you know, eat this and this will make you cool. She disobeyed God and ate an apple and then that's why humanity has fallen. Or you can understand the esoteric side of it and takes a lot more homework and understand that what they're talking about is the spinal cord, and they're talking about how you have each individual has a Kabbalistic being, and you have a male side and a female side, and you have Adam represents the brain and Eve represents the sexual functions, and that there is a constant battle between the two for dominance, and that the Lucifer represents the temptation of material, of the material realm and earthly desires, and that it first entices Eve, the sexual organs, and that in turn will entice the brain to constantly be thinking about that stuff. That is what the esoteric interpretation of that story would be. But there's the whole Bible and all your holy texts are full of this dualistic writing. Mm-hmm. And that's these holy texts. That's how they come across. I don't know who wrote them. I don't know how the fuck they wrote them, but they're out there and they're available to us to decipher. They're initiatic in their nature. In the fact, when I say initiatic, they just like Freemasonry initiates people into higher and higher degrees, and they'll use the same symbols and they mean a different thing. The higher level of understanding you get, they mean a different and different thing. That is an initiatic story.
Which I have thought about joining, by the way, you know, Freemasonry, because I have friends who are Masons.
Okay.
You know, and I have a friend who is a 33rd degree Mason.
Really?
He's
told you that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I know just because of...
How much baby blood does he drink?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't asked yet.
Well, at some level in Freemasonry, I believe there's a corruption that exists of the self.
And I believe that. I mean, in all things, like in all, you know, all, I guess we can say all clubs or groups, right? There's a level of...
Sure.
Corruption.
Happened to the Christian church, happened to the Catholic church, exactly, happened to everything that gets... to a certain level of popularity gets corrupted.
Yes.
By nature.
Yes.
Libertarian.
Yeah, it is human nature. It's We just can't have nothing good. We just fuck everything up.
Because right? There's always douchebags.
Which, again, going back to the Constitution, right? And this how genius our founders were, is they knew that over time, government will become corrupt.
I'm so glad we're recording this, by the way.
I mean, they just knew that's why they put it in the Constitution that you can have an amendment where you can basically, you know, get the convention of the states, right? Is because they knew over time government would just become corrupt.
Well, because governments grow too much, and they knew that too.
Exactly.
That's why we left.
It's the nature of things to garner power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Government would just get too big, so they allowed the power of the people, not only the people, but also the representatives of the people, to pass, you know, future amendments, you know, pass future ratifications, all these things. So that I always tell people that the Constitution is a living document. You know, is it perfect? Absolutely not. But you show me anything else that is as close to protecting
exactly.
your individual freedom and your individual liberties as any
exactly.
other document in any other country.
And all this government. Talk about revolution, you got to be really, really careful, because what that means is basically the underclass overthrows the political system and implements their own. What they end up doing in a revolution in this country is they're going to throw out the old system. They're going to throw out the Constitution, and that is our safeguard against tyranny. They're going to throw it out, and they're going to find out what happens when you do that. Every time that's happened in history, you've gotten the worst tyranny. The prime example was that the French did it. The French did it in 1789, the French Revolution. They overthrew basically they had a Catholic overseers. They Freemasonry infiltrated the society and the secret societies, and they dispelled their teachings to the masses, and then they overthrew the Catholic rulers. They chopped the heads off all the kings, they chopped the heads off all the Catholics, and then you had Maximilian Robespierre, who was a tyrant, who took over, who ruled with an iron fist, and they had guillotines out on every street corner just chopping the heads off of people that disagreed with his form of government. Then you had Napoleon rise up and take over and conquer all of Europe through their power. The history is very fascinating in how it applies.
Yeah, and then how are you going to think? You're going to change your mind pretty quick when you see your buddy's head get chopped off.
And, exactly.
Like, oh,
and everybody shit. Right now, it's just so fashionable to be like, revolution.
Thrones, man.
You revolution.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, like, we got to be very careful. That's why I always say on this show, restoration.
Restoration.
Not absolutely. Revolution.
Yeah.
That's why on the graphic, and, we got the Constitution.
We watch so many movies. You know, people think, oh, we're just going to revolt and it's going to be a happy ending.
Because if
it's
sexy, a happy ending, the Constitution, what do you replace it with?
Yeah. What is there?
Natural law.
You're basically saying.
When I say it was the best document.
As long as my feelings are not
hurt. Yeah.
You know. Which, you know, going back to a thing that I like hearing from the Young Turks is that, you know, you can now, which they're, you know, basically working for state to state is to pass an amendment to get big money out of politics, you know. And this is where, this is again, is that, you know, that correlation between progressives and libertarians is we know that big money corrupts, right? And this is where I respect, you know, the main founder of TYT is he has been working, you
is
know, ground troops.
Cenk?
Yeah, Cenk Uygur. Yeah. And this is where I respect his, you know, his work ethic and his drive for, you know, the Constitution is he's at least going state to state to passing amendments to get big money out of politics, because as libertarians, a lot of people don't know this yet, but when we accept donations, and if it's your check, if they receive a check, it has to have your personal name on it. They will
perfect
accept corporate donations, because we're not answering to corporations. We are answering to the individual, to our constituents.
Did you hear that, people? If you didn't hear that, stop what you're doing. Listen closely. This is one of the major differences in the Libertarian Party. What it does. Please describe it again. They do not take corporate sponsors.
Yes. If a check comes to a candidate and it has Inc. on it, it has LLC on it, it is going to be returned. Why? We don't want to. We are pro business. We are pro capitalism, right? We are pro free market.
But a corporation functions different.
Correct. We answer to the people. So if you make a donation and it has your business, guess what? They are going to return it. We want individual donations, and this is the big thing of why, you know, you can trace it back to the 70s when the Libertarian Party was enacted, that they'd not had a lot of, you know, big traction, is because individual donations, right? Now you're looking at what can be done with Bernie Sanders, right? Look at all the money he raised off individual donations. The Libertarian Party is the same way. We operate on the same philosophy as
I love that
is
they do
individual
that.
Donations. We don't want to answer to your corporation. We want to answer to our constituents first.
Also, it's publicly available, so you can see who has donated money to the Libertarian Party, and you can hold them accountable, and you can see how much they donated.
Real quick, you likened it to progressives, and I'm just kind of curious, like, I don't see the progressive movement doing that. Like, when I hear progressive, I think of people who want to enact laws making certain words illegal, and you know you got to be PC.
Progressive is socialist.
Yeah, and right? So I just want to clear that up. I don't want to. Yeah,
What I'm saying is,
put them in the same boat because
I don't want
to. To me, progressives aren't. They do the opposite of what it sounds like. It sounds good. Oh, we're going to be progressive.
They're word magicians.
Progress. Yeah. Yeah. We're making progress.
That's why they call them.
We're talking about Bruce Jenner's dick and where's he going to take a shit.
Do you know who's and, a lot of them that make up
you
that
you can't
shit?
Say bossy. Warriors. And, you know what I mean? That's progressive to me. Are these little fucking language police people.
Wordsmiths.
And so when I hear progressive, I apologize, Victor, but they piss me off. They're the opposite of progress.
No, I get you. And what I'm just saying is, what I'm trying to say is, the new age of politics, right? Is, you know, back in the day, it was liberals versus conservatism, right? Now, the common thing is progressivism versus libertarianism, right? So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that we agree on them because there's a lot of.
Do you view that as the future, progressivism versus libertarianism?
I think so. I mean, if you just look at it,
it makes sense.
It makes sense because, you know, even progressives,
the new two parties,
change versus restoration, kind
exactly.
of
exactly
future change.
And don't hurt people's feelings or live free.
Change society, basically.
Yeah.
Change society into something other than it currently is. It is changing. We all know that.
And so what I'm just trying to say is a Bernie Sanders candidate who was open and willing to accept, you know, independent donations as opposed to, you know, super PACs, right? Well, let's just take, you know, the Bernie Sanders progressive and the Gary Johnson libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want super PACs, right? We know that.
That's crony capitalism at its finest.
It's crony capitalism.
Yeah, because once if they do make office, either one, if you're a socialist or
the second a corporation has the ability to donate,
if their hands are in your pocket,
influences a politician, just think about how creepy that is.
Yeah,
when a corporation influences that, what they're doing is they. So this is the actual layout of how it goes. Everybody in your minds, sear this in your minds. A corporation pays a lobbyist $200,000 or $300,000 a year to go to Washington, D.C. to offer financial incentives to certain politicians to where once he has them, they vote for certain initiatives to pass. And those initiatives favor that corporation's industry
and obliterates the basically the ability for the other competitors to kind of just keep them down.
This is essential that all libertarians have to understand, that that is the current system. That is how it's set up right now. And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It should not be allowed.
And so that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is, as far as, you know, progressivism and libertarianism, that is our kind of our message that we can stick together. Is like, yeah, you know what? We should get big money in politics, right? Because let the best message win.
Now, here's the thing. Do you make another law? Because we're anti-law, right?
I think we got enough fucking law.
And see, that's
do you make another law prohibiting it?
But see, here's, and you know, libertarians are free to ridicule me on this or not, right? Do I agree with passing a national or, you know, an amendment to get big money out of politics? Me, I'm going to say yes, because to me, it levels the playing field. It allows the constituent to vote for their candidate based off their ideas, not of how much money that person is going to take to blast, you know, the airwaves of, hey, I'm the right person for you.
Right.
It's, hey, I am no longer tied to big money. This is my platform. This is my message.
If there are any laws, that's not a bad law, because it is a check. It's a valve. You know, it functions as a valve to just where like energy can only go, you know, a certain way. It shouldn't go that way from corporations into. I would also argue that corporations, the structure of a corporation legally should change. A bunch of fat cats in a boardroom should not be able to make a collective decision for the corporation, which functions as a person, a corporation, and then if anything goes wrong, that corporation, you know, explodes Yellowstone volcano on accident or something, that all of those board members are not responsible, because the person of the corporation is responsible. The corporation falls, it goes bankrupt, those fat cats all walk with all their, you know, money that they collected in the process of exploiting nature and, you know, damaging. Well, so the structure of corporations needs to change in a libertarian society.
Is let's just talk about, you know, the great financial crisis, right? You can make the argument where you had basically big banks, which, you know, they were manipulating the currency, right? Allowing for
episode five of ours, that was monopoly money.
So from a libertarian standpoint, is you had a small select few saying, this is what we're going to do for our own corporate gain. Fuck the rest, fuck the American people, because we know when shit hits international, the fan, we can ask the government bail us out, or else you're fucked.
Yeah. AIG.
Exactly.
Made your major insurance company, so Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
You can make the case where in my view, libertarians and progressives can say, hey, you know what? Let's go off and tackle this shit, because as a libertarian, you had a select few damage the lives of so many. Yeah. Now, you know, the media was, oh, well, you had these people thinking they can, you know, they can afford the bigger house, right? Well, of course, because you had the realtor and you had the mortgage lender saying, oh, hey, interest rates are fucking rock bottom for 5 years.
But isn't it sad that how stupid the American people are?
Again, of course, like, of course, right?
They go.
You should wait over conservative. You can't buy a George boat. Bush, you can't buy the huge house and everything else.
I was a lender at that time. You know, I was a mortgage. I worked for a mortgage broker, so I saw the interest rates. Right, I saw how sweet I can incentivize someone and saying, "Hey, you can move over here for this." You know,
and sometimes these terms get intimidating to people. Not to interrupt, but a lot of the listeners. When you think about interest rates, just think about this is how strong of a pull money has on people.
Yeah.
So if people really want money really bad, and they're willing to take out a loan because they want money, then money, it's supply and demand. Money gets more expensive. And when money gets more expensive, its rate goes up.
Yeah.
Interest rates go up. That's part of this free market economics. That's another thing we have to get into in the show, is we have to start diving into economics so that you guys know the principles that are at work when people spend a buck, where it goes, and what the government has to do with that, and where they involve themselves in that.
Absolutely.
Please. So you were talking about interest rates. I had
So like I had a little stint where, you know, I was working for a big bank, and then I was I went to go off to do originate loans, right? So I was working for a broker house, and it's just something that I was instilled with my dad is, hey, do the right thing, you know, do the right thing. So a lot of times I pushed a homeowner to get, you know, a fixed rate, right? Oh, no, but I really want this home, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, but it's like, it's not, you know, it's not locked in. You don't know where the right rates are going to be in 2 years, in 5 years. So I was always the lowest person on the totem pole as far as that sales office is. Hey, why are your numbers so low? And I always focused on getting a 30-year for my clients, you know?
You were actually trying to help your clients.
I was trying to help them, you know? I wasn't trying
to... That was the difference.
That was the difference. You know, I had, you know, people in that office, you know, making a good six hefty figure salary.
Because they're cutthroat.
They're cutthroat. They say, hey, the bank is going to give me this incentive to push this.
Our current money system lends itself to a cutthroat personalities.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that wasn't me. You know, it's like, of course I want nice things, right? Of course I wanted to be a top producer. But it's like, you know what? I wanted to lay my head at night and say, I helped that person. I didn't, you know,
that's beautiful,
fuck them so I can make an extra point and make an extra couple thousand on that origination.
You hear that, people? You
know? But here's
real people doing good things.
And here's the kind of the underlying of, you know, pat on my back, you did a good thing, is that office, you know, when it all came crashing down, the FBI went after them. You know, like they got this whole indictment, all this crap, and they were like, a buddy of mine called me saying,
really?
Saying, you know, basically like shitting his pants, says, hey man, the FBI fucking asked us to interview, and did you get called? And I'm like, wait,
fuck, what? No, I
didn't. It was like an audit.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, FBI, what? I'm like, dude, I have not gotten a phone call. I never got an interview.
I didn't screw anybody.
Yeah, and I was shitting bricks. I'm like, I called my dad. Dad, FBI, and this was like, he's like, what the fuck did you say, Dad? I didn't do anything. I didn't sell any of those loans.
Keep going.
I gotta say though, I do kind of think that people screwed themselves, because I remember that time I was working a different job, and
what's the
hearing, like, I said, wait, your mortgage could just move up? I go, I would never buy a house under those conditions. And at that time, I worked at a construction supply company. People were like refinancing their houses, putting in pools, buying boats, everything, new cars, living large. But I'm going, wait, this isn't good. It's going to crash. And no, sure as shit, it crashed.
Yeah, and I can feel that. And this is where, like, at one point I was like, yeah, dude, like, why? But... You know, when that other person, that lender, right, or the lender, the realtor is, you know,
predatory. That's what they're called.
They're selling you the dream, right? They're selling you the dream, and let's just say, you know, you're ignorant, right? You just want to work hard, you want to provide good for your family, and now you're presented with a little opportunity to, hey, get that extra thing you worked hard for. Don't worry about it because the interest rates are low. Right? Yeah. Say, hey, don't worry. You can afford it now. You worked hard for it. Where that small amounts of ignorance, you're just like, you know what? Yeah, I did. And, you know, I am going to believe you. Yeah. Of course, the smarter person who understands money, who understands who's really, you know, about their checkbook, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not that. I don't see that possible. I want to you know, I want to go for the long term. So, yeah, I mean, there's no right or wrong right there. You know?
I'm not a super intelligent guy, but I knew, like, I don't want to be in debt that much.
You were also in the construction business. And I was in construction too for a short amount of time. It's like, I had basic understanding. It's like, this is just not, you know, it's not applicable. It's not pliable. So when I would tell these people, hey, I want to go get that second home, I'm like, you may want to hold off on that. Like,
yeah.
You have to set up yourself where you can financially afford it in downtimes. Like, it just, you know, and they would even tell me, hey, are you a homeowner? I was like, no, I'm not even a homeowner yet. It's like, yeah. I can't afford it. I was like, oh, really? You're a mortgage banker. I'm like, so what? Like, that means nothing to me. Yeah. So it's, you know.
I just hate being in debt. Like, I mean, I do have credit cards now. Like, when I bought my house, they were like, you need to get a credit card to, you know, because I had no credit. Because if I can't afford it, I'll just save up and buy it, you know. Yeah. That's how I always live my life.
Perfect.
And when I got the house, it was like the mortgage has to be less than one of my paychecks, you know, my first paycheck. And that's how I set it up, you know. I got approved for way more, you know, but who wants to be stressed out? You'd have less
spending cash.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Spending cash is nice. Nick, I will say, dude, you're one of the most intelligent people I've met. And here's the thing. The brain is what it believes it is. So, so don't tell yourself that, because I see you as one of the smartest people I know. Especially, we'll start talking and you'll bring up boom, 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 shit about NLP, shit about, you know, social, this stuff. Like, and all we did was talk about it on a podcast, you know, but you got the concepts. Like, that is intelligence, you know, like. You're a smart dude. Like, don't, you know?
No, I just like to think I do what makes sense. Like, what makes sense? If I come across something at work, it's, you know, and that's one of my coworkers. Like, he's like my partner at work. We work great together. Like, what'd you do? Like, well, I did what made sense. So we just think.
Don't have, like, that make sense, you know? It's like, does it make sense? Like, no, I just want to do what I want to do. It makes sense to me. It's like, you're able to say, does it make sense for the common good?
Right. Yeah.
Or, hey, does it make sense for everybody involved? A lot of times it's, it makes sense to me, or I thought it was a great idea, you know?
Yeah. And one of the better arguments I've heard as far as that goes, you gotta go?
Yeah.
Right. One of the better arguments I've heard as far as that goes is, Stefan Molyneux is like a libertarian philosopher. He's got his own podcast, YouTube channel, kind of doing a lot of things. What I would like is for this Beacon podcast to kind of turn into something similar to what he has, just a slightly different clientele. He's an atheist anarchist. I'm not an atheist anarchist.
Yeah.
But I get...
Which we have a lot of, you know?
Yeah.
But, again... Going back to the principles of you being you, right?
Yeah.
And if you just look, let's just take atheists, for example. When do you see them going out and committing...
Killing people in the name of atheism?
Exactly.
Never.
Never. And
so, let them be.
Are atheists who are freaking kind, loving, who I would leave...
If you're a hardcore Christian
around my kids, knowing
God's the judge, then
yes,
you're not the judge. Actually, Jesus told you, don't judge.
Exactly.
Right. You're not the judge. So don't worry about
it. Unless you want me to judge you.
Yeah. So don't worry about it. Let them go.
Exactly.
Leave them be. This is where most Christians go absolutely bonkers is they go, oh, no, you have to, this has to be a theocracy. This is a Christian nation. No, it wasn't.
It was never a Christian nation.
If you study those founders, most of them were members of secret societies, lawyers. A lot of them were scumbags that wanted economic opportunity.
Yeah.
A lot of them were doing it because they understood that they wanted religious opportunity. They were getting away from England and the Anglican Church, and that's a whole crazy history. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, just, you know what, you know, just present me where one atheist went off and did a mass shooting, you know, Just present me
this one. This is for atheism.
You know, said,
no.
You know, this is for atheism, brah. You know?
Yeah.
You don't see that. And this is
where... Atheists aren't crazy.
Fundamentalists, whether it's, you know, Muslim fundamentalists or Christian fundamentalists, is like, you know, now I saw a nice little meme across, you know, Facebook, which just made so much sense, that just proves that, you know, that fundamentalism is a problem, but also, you know, you can make the argument that, you know what, religion as a whole is a problem, because
for sure
you if I was, like, let's say a fundamentalist is Christian and I'm looking at Nick, sorry,
it's all good, bro,
looking at you in an atheist, I'm like, oh, devil worshiper, da 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 da. But yet, when we met,
and when's the last time Nick actually went and, like, got into his closet and just got it out of seance shit and just worshiped the devil?
But you know what's funny is that's always where people go. Like, well, you don't believe in a god, so you have to believe in a devil. They always go, so when you're worshiping the devil, beaten off and fucked in your own blood, you know, or whatever,
babies, and
shit. I was like, no, I just don't believe in supernatural deities.
You believe the material world is what it is.
It's a natural world, you know.
That's and
I don't care if you believe in God. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like,
just don't hurt other fucking people. Yeah. The second you start hurting other people, it's going to bother me
because of your ideology, right? And this is where my biggest beef was with really the Catholic Church. Of, you know, we leave Sunday and we're having brunch and it's going back to, you know, to judging. Oh, did you see that other person wearing that dress?
Yeah.
It's like,
do you know why?
In the meantime, religion butt fuck children and nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, religion gives people a sense of feeling better than others. That's what it does.
Yeah.
It makes people feel better than others. And psychologically, that sets people up for failure.
You know, your own personal responsibility on someone else.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
On some other
power. Somebody else's fault. It's the devil's fault. It's anybody else's fault but mine.
You can't use that when you go to court, right? Oh, I'm sorry.
Because the devil won't take the stand.
Damn it. Is that a song?
No, but it should
be. You need to write a song about
it. It's going
to
be a country song. I'll tell you that much.
All right, what I'd like to do here with this guys,
wrap it up.
We have to do this again, but
I'm down.
Thank we got to so close it off, man, unfortunately. Awesome. I could do this all day with you two, but let's go to each person and let's just give a quick wrap up of what freedom means to you. Please, let's start with whoever wants to.
Nick.
Well, okay, I guess that'd be me. Freedom to me is just being uninhibited by any government means. You know, living naturally and unopposing your wills on other people. Freedom is very important to me. Freedom is the opportunity for success. You know, and being uninhibited at all. That's it.
For sure.
Yeah, that's good. Freedom to me, you know, to me, freedom, liberty, it just, you know, it enables us to just live the lives how we want, you know, how we want to raise our children, as we know, how we want to, you know, whether it comes to, you know, business, whether it comes to if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be, you know, you want to work within a company, right, is that your own personal choices have consequences, right? Mm-hmm. But more importantly, is you need to accept responsibility, you know? And freedom just means, you know what? I am free to live my life as long as, you know, I am not imposing on other people. I want to raise my family a certain way. And as long as my family is not being damaged because of it, whether your view is a little controversial or, you know, my life happens to be controversial, right? But at the end of the day, is it really hurting you other than your own, you know, your own perception of what you think you are raising your children to be, or your own life is like, oh, my life should, you know, I'm living my life as a Christian, so therefore you should, because, you know, that's the right thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just because I grew up with religious dogma. And I hated it because it was like, oh, if you do this, you're a sinner. Oh, if you do this, you're a sinner. Oh, you do this. It's like at one point where I say, you know what? Fuck it then. I'm going to fucking sin, but I'm going to fucking have a fucking brilliant time doing it. And if I'm going to go to the fucking devil, then you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go to the fucking devil. But at least I knew I got to fucking live my life. And that was like my thing. I was, you know what? Fuck religion. You know, because like it doesn't fucking represent me. It doesn't embrace me. It doesn't embrace my individualism. You know, I mean, look at me. You know, first generation citizen. I had every color of the rainbow when it comes to hairstyles. I had a mohawk. I had every color you can think of. I got kicked out because
I'd like to see some pictures.
Oh, dude, my freshman. I'm gonna try to find the freshman yearbook, but I had a mohawk right there.
Cool.
Okay. So. To me, it was just like, man, I'm always told you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad.
But you're
so it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm bad.
Which translates to life. You don't fit in, you don't fit
I don't
in,
fit
you
don't in. Fit in. I fall into the, I don't fit into the mold. Yeah. And yet, you know, me, I think I'm, you know, doing pretty good for myself as a father who, you know, now I'm all about my kids. You know, I love... You know, I love staying at home. I love, you know, I'll go out with friends and stuff like that. But man, hanging out with my girls is the best thing for me. I love it. I love it. It's cool. They get to, they love me. They, daddy, where are you? When are you coming home? And they see me as, you know, a tattooed, you know, big hold eared bald punk rocker, and they don't see that, you know, that they just see as daddy, I love you because you're awesome and you play with us and you do all this shit for us.
Guarantee you're gonna raise some pretty kick-ass kids.
I hope so, man. And you know, and like I told my wife, I want to, even in our own home, is I just want a fair, you know, sometimes we have to rule like tyrants, right? Because sure. it's our kids. But
yeah,
you know, I
they're
want
they're in the process of learning, and you are the teacher.
You're protecting them.
Yeah, in a way. And I want them to think for themselves. You know, my daughter, my middle child, my 5-year-old. Damn, she's just like me. So it's like, to me, it's like God's sense of humor saying, "Gotcha, homie." Like, you know, this is you and your kids. So I'm like, fuck, you know. But at the same time, I don't want to restrict her in telling her to think this way or that way. Say, hey, you guys have at it, you know, but there's consequences
for sure.
How about you, Matt?
Okay, so freedom to me, because of the nature of the way the world works and because the nature of the reason I'm not free is because other people are taking my freedom. I understand freedom as this. You will not be free unless you can let others
be free.
Be free.
Nice.
And it starts with you. Starts with me. Starts on an individual level and it spreads.
You're right.
Because we don't understand the way that we tyrannize others.
And we have to be willing to fight for that other person's
rights,
freedoms, and rights.
Even if you don't believe them.
And even if, exactly. Even if you don't, even if they are contradicting to yours, it's like, hey, you know what? Because you are a human being, or because you are you, you have the same rights that have been entitled to me.
As long as it's only the you're right not hurting the person. Absolutely. Or property of another being. That's how I understand it. Is it's more on an individual level. And what's interesting about the way this world works is the freer I let others be free, the more freedom I find. It's like a karmic law, almost.
No, you're right.
So that's what I got to say about it. Any wrapping statements before we close off this episode? This has been an epic episode. Oh, let me mention. Thanks, let me guys. Mention real quick.
I had a blast.
Let me mention real quick. You guys, there's going to be some troubling times probably coming in the future with the dollar. Anybody that's done any kind of preliminary study on economics knows that this current system
cannot exist forever. You need to protect yourself. You need to do it. And you need to have precious metals in your portfolio.
And cryptocurrency.
And cryptocurrency. Okay, we'll AKA talk about that Bitcoin. On the next one. Interesting. But as far as right now, get physical gold and silver in your hands. Because if the dollar drops out tomorrow, you're going to wish that you had it. And we recommend people that I've actually used, and they're the best that I have dealt with. I've dealt with several companies. This is the best. By the way, they also sponsored Bill Cooper's radio show, and they rebuilt a studio for him after his got burnt down by shady people. So when his studio got burnt down, they rebuilt a studio for him to allow him to keep speaking. Okay. This company is upright, and they'll sell you actual real precious metals. They'll sell you gold and silver to be in your hands.
And they just ship it to your house?
They'll ship it to your house, certified mail. You sign it, and it's yours. And it's real gold and silver. It's not that Chinese bullshit. They investigate that stuff.
Nice.
That's Swiss America Trading. Please, if you guys are interested, call Swiss America Trading, 602-788-4653. That is 602-788-4653. Ask for Gary Belson and tell him that you heard about them on the Beacon podcast.
Hell yeah.
Now, Nick, sign us out, please.
And in times of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And it's no more true than today and the next day. But hit us up on Twitter at Beacon Podcast. You've already found us on iTunes or Stitcher, possibly. Thank you for downloading. We appreciate you stopping by. But we'd love to hear from you. So if you got any show ideas or comments, Twitter's great. Or you have Facebook at The Beacon Podcast. Or a great email is TheBeaconPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for downloading.
We love Beacon you guys. Podcast. Peace out. See you later, Vic. Till next time.
Adios, amigos.
Milton, how bad is the state of freedom in this country today?
It's a mixed bag. In some areas, we have more freedom than we've ever had before. In some other areas, our freedom has been drastically reduced. Our freedom to spend our own money as we want has been cut sharply. Our freedom to go into whatever occupation we want has been reduced sharply. Our freedom to enter various businesses has been reduced sharply. And these restrictions in our economic freedoms have carried over to restrictions on the freedom with which we speak and we talk, the activities we carry on, our attitudes toward governmental officials and all the rest.
Milton, what about the generation that doesn't know what freedom is as you knew it, and therefore doesn't mind so much what has happened, just takes for granted what he's living under now?
I think that's a very real problem. I think we're living on our inheritance. We have inherited a philosophy and a set of attitudes, and they tend to be eroded. People get accustomed to what they know. There's an enormous tyranny of the status quo, and most people, most of the time, accept the circumstances that are around them. There's a natural human drive for freedom which always expresses itself. But it's stronger or weaker. And I think a great danger in continuing along the path that we've been going on is that we will lose still more of our inheritance, still more of our basic values, of our basic beliefs in freedom, and that we will have still less protest as more and more freedoms are taken away. The real value of freedom is that it provides diversity. And diversity is in turn the real protection of freedom. People who like to live in small cities can live in small cities. People who like the impersonality of a metropolis can live in a metropolis. We have loyalties to our churches. We have loyalties to our universities, to our schools, to our clubs, to our cities, to our states. It's this diversity. The fact that there isn't a monolithic conformity imposed on us. That is the source of protection for our freedom and also the fruit of freedom. It's because freedom protects diversity, allows, you will remember the phrase when Mao said he was going to allow 100 flowers to bloom, but of course he didn't. As soon as people spoke out and 100 flowers bloomed, he cut them off. But it's the blooming of many flowers, the fact that you have all of these different expressions of people's individuality, that produces the great achievements of civilization and that provides the great hope and protection of our freedom.
Are you saying then that there are pockets of freedom still existent in the countries?
As I said before, the picture is a mixed bag. In certain respects, we have more freedom than we have ever had. But in other respects, we have very much less freedom. Of course, there are great pockets of freedom. This is predominantly still a free country. We must not confuse the trend with the situation. We have been moving away from freedom. Our freedom is in jeopardy, but it by no means has been completely destroyed. And I believe that there is a strong enough component of freedom in our society that we will be able to preserve it, that we're going to turn this trend back, that we are going to cut government down to size, we're going to lay the groundwork for a resurgence, for a flowering of that diversity, which has been the real product of our free society.
Shook my shadow every day, trying to trick me into doing battle, calling out faker only get me rattled, wanna pull me back behind the fence with the cattle, building your lenses, digging your trenches, put me on the front line, leave me with the dumb mind with no defenses, cut your defenses if you can't stand to feel the pain and you're senseless. Since this I've grown up some different kind of fighter, and when the darkness come, let it inside ya. Your darkness is shining, my darkness is shining. I have faith in myself. I've seen the million number doors on me arising. Now which is the future you chosen before you gon' die? I tell you about a secret I've been undermining. Every little line in this world comes from dividing. Say you're my lover, say you're my homie. Take my chain back, slit my throat, take a bath in my blood, got to know me. All out of my secrets, all of my enemies are turning into my teachers. Because light's blinding, no way dividing. What's yours or mine when everything's shining? Your darkness is shining, my darkness is shining. Have faith in ourselves. I'm only loving, I'm only loving, that's what I'm trying to do, is only loving. I'm only loving the truth I'm loving. That's what I'm trying to do, is only loving. I'm only loving, only loving the truth I'm loving.